Well, good morning. Man, it's great to have you here, and thank you so much for, again, as they said, for choosing Living Hope. And our members, thank you for just continuing to stay faithful. Man, the praise band always sets us up to have a spirit where we can come in and to worship, and they did, again, as always, just a great job. Will you give them a hand? I mean, it's awesome. Well, this morning I'm continuing my series on the congregation's choice. The congregation's choice of being able to say, hey, Troy, there's some things that I would like to learn a little bit more about. I don't understand. And I've had a lot of great feedback from different people wanting me to share different messages. And as collectively, I'm kind of looking at them and seeing, is there a general theme, or is there something that I can get the most bang for my buck while on Sunday? Because obviously, I may not be able to get to everybody's, or even some of them may even take, you know, maybe two or three Sundays even to get through some of them, because they've been such great, great questions. And also, I just wanted to throw this out there. There's a lot of things that we could also go into more detail in terms of discipleship. So on Wednesdays and Saturdays, if there's things that you would like to learn about and that we could talk through, sometimes it's easier to do it that way as well. So this morning, you know, one came to me that I feel like is very, very relevant in every one of our life and stuff, and that's the whole idea of for forgiveness. To learn to forgive is probably one of the most difficult things that we all can do, not just for non-believers. For believers as well. Believers, believe it or not, can struggle with not being able to forgive people. I don't know if you've ever heard of this expression, but I'm going to hold a grudge all the way to my grave. You know, there are people that have said that, and there's people that will stand by that and hold that conviction and that belief system. Why? Because pain or hurt has happened in their life, and so they say, I will never forgive that person. I will literally take it to my grave, and I will basically show that person, even though oftentimes those people have probably either, one, didn't remember it, two, didn't even know, or three, possibly don't even care, and you've held something all the way to your grave. It's a practice that many people, unfortunately, practice. Instead of actually practicing the whole idea, the biblical concept of trying to forgive, many people practice the whole idea of seeing how good they can be to hold this to the grave. And so I want us to learn about the biblical belief system, because our biblical belief system as a Christian, as a born-again Christian, is based on the whole idea and the foundation of forgiveness. Especially two songs ago where we just heard about the crimson stain that we all have left. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. We all have sinned, for the wages of sin is death. And because of that, we all have to take ownership on what we have done. And basically, we have placed Jesus Christ on the cross, each and every single one of us. And that was the whole purpose of why he came in the first place, is that we have to acknowledge that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So not only have we hurt, and not only have we put Jesus Christ on the cross because of our sin, but we also place people there too. We have hurt other people. And we need to understand that the foundation and the whole idea of Christianity is based off of forgiveness. We all need it. We all need forgiveness. Notice the word all. We all need a Savior. We all need unconditional love. We all need grace to cover over us and make us white as snow, as the song says. We all need that. So how come if we all need something so badly, here's the million-dollar question. Why is it so hard? Why is it that I sometimes in my heart do not want to give it to somebody? The subject of forgiveness, the topic of forgiveness, is not just a roadblock in our spiritual journey. Oftentimes, it can literally be the concrete barrier to our whole entire spiritual life. As a Christian, if we are not willing to forgive other people for their trespasses, as we would want God to forgive us for our trespasses, our sins, then there is this literal spiritual roadblock. There is a concrete barrier that we're putting up that will actually self-destruct our spiritual life. Not to mention with other people, but vertical relationship with Jesus Christ if we are building a grudge or if we're willing not to forgive other people. I'm absolutely convinced, as I was writing this sermon, that we fall in literally one of two categories. See if I'm right on this. Either you, one, need to forgive someone today, or number two, you need to be forgiven by someone today. And if you don't fall into one of those two categories, then it's possible that you need this message to realize that someday, when, not if, you're going to fall in one of those two categories. And it may just be 2 hours from now that you may need forgiveness by someone, or you may end up needing to forgive someone, because we, as sinners, we are constantly on the move of actions and thinking things and doing things. And if you're wondering, am I just talking about now the horizontal relationship with other people? I am, but I'm also talking about the vertical relationship, because you're never going to go a day, most likely, that you're not going to hurt God, that you're not going to fall into one of those, into that situation where you're going to at least hurt God and fall short of His glory. Now, I can tell you this, He's not going to do anything to you because He can't sin. That's the comfort on that. But it's this horizontal relationship where we constantly are hurting each other and we are doing things that we may need to fall into one of these categories. So I'm praying and I'm hoping that this message today would help each and every single one of us to be able to see where we are today. And you know what? Here's the deal. Every single one of us come with our story. Every single one of us has a story that and a past about where we are with not only the Lord, but where we are with other people, with co-workers, with family members, with church members, with neighbors. And we're going to fall in one of these categories. I want to share three biblical truths today that I hopefully will help you. And just so you know, just because of time's sake, I'm only going to give three. There's literally hundreds of biblical truths about this concept and about this idea of forgiveness. But the first one that I want to get to right now is this. Unforgiveness will cause you literally physical harm. Yes, just the health-wise. Unforgiveness, bitterness, holding a grudge will literally cause you physical harm. And you're thinking, well, how is that? Well, do you remember what Jesus said about worrying? On the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:27, He says, how can you improve your life one bit about worrying? How can you even add an hour to your day about worrying? Worrying is one of these things in terms of stress and dealing with just the everyday life that can literally put so much weight on you, on your heart and your mind and the stress and all the anxiety that you have that will literally can mess your health up. And the same thing goes with unforgiveness. The whole idea of being able to forgive, literally in 2017, there was a research that was done by Erasmus University, and this was done in Rotterdam, Netherlands, when I was actually researching the whole idea about forgiveness. And it says this, shows that pardoning, forgiving someone who has done literally you wrong can not only lift the burdens off your shoulders, but will do the same thing physically and emotionally as well. Forgiving provides a person with a greater sense of self-worth and power, which is often manifested into enhanced physical ability. Now, you may say, well, that's just one research that was done. Here is the Mayo Clinic. The Mayo Clinic, that where it's the top notch. It's where all the research, it's where clinical practices are done. It's the highest of education. The intelligent of the intelligence go to study and research and do all these things. Here's what the Mayo Clinic said about forgiveness. Forgiveness brings with it plenty of health benefits, including improved relationships, decrease in anxiety and stress, lower blood pressure, lower risk of depression, and stronger immune system, and what? Heart health. Your heart needs it. Your heart, your lifestyle, everything about anything that could happen to you or what is going on in your mind. Has anyone just literally stayed up all night and just are several hours and you just couldn't rest because something that happened to you in your day and you can't just get past it? Sometimes not being able to eat, not being able to function. And then finally you get to the point where you're just like, I got to make the call, or I got to get this thing solved, or you know what, I don't really know what to do. And you're just stuck. And so often we get in that place. Church, some of us has been carrying around a huge backpack of hate, bitterness, anger, and unforgiveness on our shoulders for so long that literally it's affecting your physical life. It's literally just affecting every single day. Literally, your mind is never resting. And your heart is truly overworking. You got to give this to God. You got to be able to get to a point where you surrender and get to the point where you can let that go. We all are going to need it. We all are going to be able to do that. The second thing I want to share is this. Unforgiveness will poison your spirit with inside of yourself. I want you to think about that. It will literally poison your spirit, who you are, the Holy Spirit that is inside you, but just your life, your spirit of who you are. It will literally poison it. It will poison your personality. It will poison just your lifestyle. People will look at you and say, dude, you always seem like you're angry or mad, or you know, I haven't seen a smile in you, or man, the spiritual growth is just, I don't see any fruit in your life. Matter of fact, you look like just a rotten banana where it's just gross and it's unedible and we just want to throw it away. You just want to stay away from it. Have you ever been around people where literally you're just like, that person scares me. I don't want to be around you. Just everything about it is just scary. How many of you ever heard of this? Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. Think about that. The writer of Hebrews 12:15, and again, we don't know who the writer of Hebrews is. Some people believe it's Paul or Barnabas or Luke, but this writer of Hebrews says this: look after each other. Watch this, guys, in your scriptures here, in your Bible. Hebrews 12:15, look after each other. It didn't say, hey, look after yourself. Continue to stay selfish. Just look at you. No, it says, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. That means we need to let people understand about the grace and the unconditional love of God. Here we go again. Watch out. We got to watch ourselves that no poisonous, and please circle this in your Bible or in your bulletin, no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, or corrupt in many, or in many versions of the Bible, defiled. There's two key words I really wanted you to look at in this particular scripture in Hebrews 12:15. The first one is this word at the very bottom that I just read, defiled. In the Greek word, it literally means poison. It's like, for example, when you go to a pizza place called Pizza Getty, and you eat your pizza, and you're eating, and you're drinking all this awesome good tea, and then at the very end, they give you the check, and you say, hey, Pierce, I'll be right back. I'm going to go to the restroom. And he says, okay. And then while I come back, and I need my last swig of iced tea, he poisoned my tea by putting salt all in it last week. And I drank it, and I was like, ugh. I was like, what is going on? Because right before I left, it was sweet and really, really good. And he just sat there just smiling at me. It was undrinkable. He defiled it. It was now unusable, undrinkable. It was corrupted. It was tainted. Now let's go back to scripture. It was get off of Pierce. He's like, leave me alone, man. I told him last night I was going to talk bad about him and stuff. But spiritually, this whole idea of being bitterness and grows to be unusable. Think about your spirit. We don't want to be unusable. Do you ever listen in your Christian life? Do you ever say, God, today don't use me? Today I don't want to be an instrument for you. Today I want to be defiled. I want to be unusable. I want to be corruptible. I want to be tainted. I want to be bitter. I want to be angry. I want to stay mad. I want everybody to know it. That's crazy. That's not walking in the Spirit. That's not spiritual growth. So if our mindset is that way, we need to change our heart. We need to look about why we are tainted, why something is going on, and having that bitterness and anger of something inside of us. We got to change that. We got to ask the Lord to help work through those things. And here's a $100 question. Do you want your life? Do you want your spirit to have poison in it? I think we could safely say no. I don't think as a believer in Christ, as a newborn Christian, I don't think that that's what we want. Yet, guys, if we don't answer that question every day we wake up, then guess what? We fall into the trap of easily going there. You have to, every night, every day, when something happens to you, we need to remind ourselves, do I want to go down that road? Do I want to be defiled? Do I want to be tainted in any way? Or do I want to have the aroma of Christ in my life where it looks like I am like a little Christ, where I know how to forgive and I know how to show grace and I know how to show mercy and I know how to agape. I know how to love people unconditionally when I'm going to be hurt. Because I'm going to tell you, an hour later or 30 minutes later, you're going to do this to somebody else. And you're going to want whatever literally someone has done to you, you better make sure that you're ready to go and show them how Christ is. You got to be willing to go back and forth. You got to know how to reciprocate. You got to know how to give it. There's a reason why I'm talking about this. This is on me. As every sermon, I'm preaching to myself first. If you can relate, then take it on. But I have to learn this for myself. No one is exempt from this situation. No one is. People in your homes, your workplaces, kids in your schools, they're going to be defiled. They're going to be tainted. It's going to be poisonous at many, many places that you're going to work with. And you're going to have to look and say, how am I going to handle this in this situation? Or let me say this, what if you are the one? It's a self-destructing spiritual thing. And I'm going to tell you, God is very serious about this. Very, very serious about this. And this is why I'm talking about it. The Mayo Clinic says it's destructive to self. But Jesus Christ says it's also destructive spiritually to self. Look at the second word that this Hebrew writer wrote, and it's more at the top part of the verse. This whole idea, I told you to circle literally the word root. It's the Greek word that means ritsa. Ritza means roots, and it's not talking about when Jesus was talking about the parables where he throws out the seeds that we've talked about, and it falls on the soil, and then there's small little roots. This one is a deeper meaning. This one is a second, deep root, where literally it spreads out all underneath, and it has many facets to it. We got to look at it and say, is our unforgiveness, is it deep-rooted? What's created the deep root, that pain, that hurt that you have inside? And then literally, has it been going? Is it going literally all out like an octopus? Have you ever tried to cut down a tree and all the roots are going everywhere and you can even see it sticking out and some you can't see? Guys, that's us spiritually. Some people can literally see it. That's why we see the anger, the hate, the bitterness towards people. The people even says, here's a bigger root. Yeah, I hold grudges. I don't care. That's a big root that needs to be cut out. Some you can see, some you can't. But this is deep roots that's gone all over. And this is what it's talking about. This is what the Hebrew writer is talking about in terms of this type of forgiveness. Do we have deep roots like that entangled in our spiritual walk with Christ and with people? And you're thinking, well, I don't really have it with people. Here's what I got it with. I actually have it with God. There's a lot of people that are still mad at God about something in their life. Something that's happened to them. Maybe they were born with something. Maybe they were raised or reared in something. And you faced abuse, or maybe you faced some problem or a bullying situation in school, and you've never been able to get past it. I don't know your story, but I know that God knows your story. And He understands the pain that you're having. And let me tell you something, your pain is real. I'm not diminishing that. I'm not saying that at all. We all have experienced pain, and we all will experience pain. And some of them are so deep-rooted in you that you have never gone to God and said, I need you to help me. I'm so mad at you right now, God, because you took this from me, or you gave me this. You allowed this to happen in my life. And I don't care if the whole world sees it. I'm trying to let the world know, you are not my God. I will never follow a God like you because you don't love me. Otherwise, if you did love me, you would have never done it. You would have never allowed this. There is people by the billions that are going there every day. Not trusting God and not trusting other people. It's real emotions, guys. It's real life. But I promise you, He understands. He understands. He knows that you're going to go there. Because He's got to go there every day. He said, but yeah, I had to give up my only begotten son. I had to allow Him to go to the cross and pay a price that He didn't deserve. But I don't say that I don't understand. You give up your son. See how that feels. You give up your daughter. You give up your father. You give up your mom. And see how that feels. God understands what you're going through. He always has, and He always will. The last thing I want to mention is this, is that unforgiveness has roots in pride. Something that I'll talk more about maybe next week in terms of the whole issue of pride and what that looks like. Did you know that there are literally two underlining reasons of why we do not forgive someone? Number one is because of what I just said. It's because of the pain. It's because of the real experience that you faced. And number two, importantly, why we don't forgive people is because of the pride that we have inside. willing not to do it. There are some people that hold that pride so much, that self-righteousness inside them. We say, I'm not going to let that person get away with it. You ever heard that before? Have you ever said that before? Yeah, they're not going to get away with that. I got them. Literally, I'm going to get them by the end of the day. They're going to know. I'm not going to wait for God to deal with it. Someday when they're 94 years old, that's not going to happen. Like literally, 13, they're going to know about it. 24, they're going to know about it. 58, they should have already known well enough that I'm going to take care of them. I don't need them to wait on God. They can meet God later on, but right now they're going to meet me. I'm going to handle it. And indirectly, here's what we do. We decide that we want to play God. We want to play judge. We literally want to play the jury. We even want to play the bailiff. We want to play all roles of the court with people. Unless you were born with a robe that says God Almighty on the back of it, or a nice lovely cape, know your place. Everybody understand? Know your place. Unless you were born in your mother's womb and you were clothed with a robe of righteousness, know your place. Let God be God. Let God be judge, jury. He's good at it. He's a just God. He's a sovereign God. Okay? He's really, really good at his job. We're really, really not so good at our job when it comes to that. Okay? So we need to be apprentice. We need to be interning. We need to be learning. We need to be disciplined, disciples of Christ, and learn from the real example of what it's really supposed to be like for us. I've been hurt. I've been offended. And I refuse to let them off the hook. That's pride. But do you want to be Spirit-filled Christians? That's the question, guys. Do we? Do we want to be Spirit-filled Christians? Do we really, truly want to be a follower of Christ? Let me even ask it this way. Do you really want to live free? Do you want to be set free of that worry, of that those health problems, of literally of God looking at us and saying, know your place. I didn't bring you up to be a judge. You're not the righteous judge. My son who died on the cross will be that righteous judge. That's where everybody will stand and kneel before him and bow and say, you are my God. And until then, learn from him to forgive other people. Listen to this command in Luke 6:37. Make sure you turn there or watch up here. This is very, very important what you're about to see. Two very key verses. Luke 6:37. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Let me say that again. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will come back against you. Watch this part. Forgive others, and you will what? Be forgiven. This is not a good idea. This is not just a good suggestion. This is a command from God Almighty himself. That we must obey. Watch this next verse. Remember, we're going to the next verse. Remember what we just read. And here's our verse of the week. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount that you give will determine the amount that you get back. Troy, why are you talking about money in a time like this? I'm not talking about money. This verse gets used, misrepresented it all the time about giving to God. You may see it on TV, but let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible, right after this verse, previously I just got through talking about forgiveness. Guess what? We're still talking about forgiveness, not money. This verse oftentimes gets mistaught. The reason why is because by my measure of forgiveness, so God will go and give his measure of forgiveness. Historically, back in the day, the Jewish rabbis literally would give two measures as judges. One measure was this, the measure of justice and the measure of mercy. Which one do you want? Would you like to have the measure of justice? Or would you like to have the measure of mercy placed on you? And whatever you decide to pick, you be prepared to receive this same measure. If you want to show justice to someone, okay. But just remember, it's coming back to you. If you want to show mercy to someone, okay. Just remember, I'm going to offer that to you as well. Historically, that's what the rabbi teachers were talking about during this time. And this is what Jesus Christ, this is what this verse is all about. Matthew 7, 1 through 2 says this, and it goes on a little bit more. Watch this, and this is the meaning behind it. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated, here we go, you will be treated as you treat others. The measure or the standard that you use in judging is the same standard by which you will be judged. Everybody see that? That's the true meaning. That's where we really are. Now, what if, God forbid, this probably will never happen. What if you become an offender? What if you sin against somebody and you need forgiveness? I know that probably is not going to ever happen. Okay? I'm just saying, just hypothetically, someday, if it ever happens, someday in your life, you ever offend someone with how you act, what you look like, how you treated someone at work, at school, at home, with your spouse, with your family, on the road, down I-30. Watch this. Matthew 5, 23 through 24 says this. If you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar, meaning you're worshiping, and you're during this time that people would offer sacrifices to the Lord during the temple time. And you suddenly, watch this, all of a sudden, you suddenly remember that someone has something against you. Look what it says to do. You leave your sacrifice there at the altar. You stop. You stop with this first, and you go do this. Because if you don't get this right, you can't get this right. And if you don't get this right, then you can't get this right. So if you're trying to do this, but then all of a sudden you suddenly remember that you have been offensive, rude, disrespectful, bitter, hated, bad fruit, whatever it may be, you can't get this right until you have gotten this right. This is why a lot of times when people do the Lord's Supper, the communion, oftentimes people do teach on the fact that before you take the cup, before you take the elements, the bread, go and make peace with that person. Go ask for forgiveness. And then come back to me. Go and be reconciled to that person, the scripture says in Matthew. Then you then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Everybody see how scripture works? This is what the command, this is what he's instructing us to do. So why do we often not follow this truth? Again, because it's pride. And then I know some of you will walk out and say, yeah, but you don't understand. You don't understand. I get the message. That's kind of cool. But you don't understand. I mean, when God did that, when God allowed that, or when this person did that, I mean, they literally on purpose went out of their way to do this, this, and this, and they hurt me, and I'm just not. I mean, I'll forgive them, but I'm never going to forget it. Can I just tell you right there, when we all have heard that 1 million times, especially me, I'll forgive them, all right? But I'm not going to forget it. That is not forgiveness. That's a cop-out. That is not forgiveness. That's a cop-out. Yeah, Troy, but you now you have said this. You've just raised the bar on me now. But I'm telling you, you still don't know my story. I was abused. I was this. I was that. As I said before, God understands. Sometimes things do take time. On here, I mean, nowhere did I read that, you know, in 9 years you need to forgive. When you're 82, that's the proper time to forgive. At the end of the day, at the end of the week, no, he says 70 times 7, forgive. Forgive, 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 forgive. So often, we want to put a time limit. And I'm going to be honest with you, and this is why I'm talking to myself. God has our way. He needs to. We're all working through our spiritual journey, right? Let's be real about it. Sometimes it does take time to get to that point. I don't know what that timing is for you. I just know that we all do need to go that direction. We all need to ask the Lord Jesus Christ. If we have the Holy Spirit in us, then guess what? We have the power through the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us to help us get there. To be able to help us get through there. Okay? He's never gonna forget that you're a sinner. He's never gonna forget that. Yet every day he's gonna remind you of the greatest gift in the world that he has to offer you. See, he set the ultimate example on how to forgive. Let's follow his example. He's really, really good at his job. Really good. Let's follow his example. As I close, I could entitle this sermon as I did, Forgiving Your Neighbor. I could have called this Setting Yourself and Others Free. Or I could leave you with this message. The greatest gift the world has ever known. Forgiveness. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you and we just ask that God that we can just process this whole concept, this whole topic, this whole idea of forgiveness and what that looks like. There's going to be people in here today and listening online later that will wrestle with this. That will be entangled with this, that will not maybe even have peace with this. But I pray that they will find the power of peace, knowing that, God, that we see the ultimate example on how you forgave us, how you continually to forgive us, and how your mercy, how you chose mercy, how you chose grace, how you chose unconditional love. How you chose washing us white as snow every day. I pray that we'll hold on to those things. We'll remember those things before we put on the robe, before we cast the first stone, before we hold another grudge, before we judge another person, before we say some popular comment. So that we are in control. I know that deep down, I don't think that there is anyone in here that wants to have a spirit like that. So here's what I pray. I pray that each one of us will be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that each one of us would learn and to grow and to be able to ask for guidance and help and patience as we work through this whole idea of what forgiveness looks like. We know that it's not easy, just like loving people unconditionally is not easy. We know that the spiritual journey is not easy, and that's why we need you, the Holy Spirit, working in us and through us. And so today, I pray that, Lord, if there's anyone here today that has not put their faith in you, has not trusted you, has not said, I need a Lord and a Savior in my life, I pray that they would invite you into their life today to begin this journey, to be able to maybe even today is the day that we begin to say, I'm going to be the guy or the woman or the teenager or the child that can forgive and hopefully forget, to be set free and remember that, God, that you want the best for us. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.